Medical marijuana is a topic that's been in the news a lot over the last few years, but I think especially over the last couple, people have really been talking about the benefits of it as a medicine, possible drawbacks of medicinal marijuana. So it just seems like an apt topic for discussion today from a mental health standpoint.
Well, I think it really is. We have 29 states that have legalized some form of medical marijuana and 8 states now that actually have legalized recreational use as well. So I think we see a changing public sentiment towards marijuana and its possible benefits and risks. But I think it's important to look back and think about what does the psychological research tell us about this and what are the possible benefits? Because there certainly are some that I can talk about today. But I think it's also important to keep in mind there are many risks as well that sometimes get sort of downplayed in our current conversation. But maybe we can start with the benefits. There certainly are some conditions where there's a convergence of evidence now suggesting that marijuana, and typically we're not talking smoked, though occasionally it is, often it's delivered in a pill form or capsule, can have some beneficial effects. So in particular, some forms of pain, especially neuropathic pain or pain related to cancer, tends to respond fairly well to delta-9 THC, which is a cannabinoid or what we consider the active ingredient in marijuana. So there's some indication that for some types of pain, especially breakthrough cancer pain or chronic neuropathic conditions, where marijuana might be an effective treatment. It really can reduce pain and increase quality of life. We also see things like muscle spasticity in multiple sclerosis or other conditions where you get sort of tightening or clenching of muscles. There seems to be some suggestion that marijuana can really help there. You know, a final place where I think there's evidence growing is the idea of treating nausea associated with chemotherapy and cancer use, where we're seeing that marijuana can help with appetite sort of encouragement and reduce the nausea associated with those sorts of treatments. So those are areas where I think there is now sufficient evidence to suggest that there's something there that really could be helpful. Now, it's important to note that the marijuana is not FDA approved at this point for these conditions. There's still more rigorous research needed, and some of that challenge has been just for the past 20, 30 plus years, the federal government has greatly restricted researchers' ability to study the possible medical effects of marijuana. So that's changing, but I think we still need more research before we say that these are sort of gold standard, everyone should get these treatments.
But if more research confirms what you've just discussed, could medicinal marijuana be something that could be used instead of opioids?
Well, and I think that's exactly where there's quite a bit of excitement right now in the research community. And then there's some basic studies, and it's important to note sort of on the spectrum from when, you know, a drug is sort of examined in a laboratory or with animals, that's a long distance before it gets to market as a drug. Sometimes that process is 10, 15, 20 years. So it's very much in the preclinical or pre-human trial stage right now. But there's some work looking at exactly that. And what you find is when you combine some elements of THC or the active ingredient in marijuana, you can reduce the amount of opioid you need to achieve pain suppression. So we know we're in the midst of a massive opioid crisis here in the United States. We're working and looking for ways to reduce how often these are prescribed and the amounts they're prescribed. And I think there is quite a bit of promise and excitement in the research community that, you know, combining or using marijuana in combination with lower doses of opioids could create potentially safer alternatives. But again, this is preclinical. This is not, and you know, again, it's also important to know that this is typically not smoked marijuana or recreational use, that these are, you know, derived in laboratories and then are looking for safe alternatives. And I think that really is the general concern with marijuana, even for medicinal use, is while there are these possible benefits, there are quite a bit of side effects as well. And if you look at the what we call adverse events or things that happen that are unwanted when people are using even medical marijuana, there are quite a bit of them and they're fairly varied. And some of them are rather significant. So, you know, things like nausea, which you would think would not be there if it's, you know, treating it, but some people experience that. And especially the psychoactive effects. You know, the reason why I think many people want to use it recreationally is one of the main barriers to having it be used medically, right? That the sort of feeling high or the euphoria or the changes in thinking, that those can be unwanted, especially when we're looking at, well, how would this be safe? We know that marijuana use is associated with increased risk of motor vehicle accidents, so it can reduce driving impairment. And there's some suggestion that long-term use can actually change our cognitive abilities as well. So if we kind of shift over to the risk side, well, there's really quite a bit of evidence now suggesting that marijuana use, especially during adolescence, can limit our sort of neurodevelopment and limit IQ, right? So if we measure intelligence, some new studies that have come out now suggest that sort of chronic users of marijuana who started in adolescence might see a decline of up to 6 or so points in IQ, which is quite significant over their lifetime if they continue to use. But even though the decline is less for those that stop, there is still a noticeable effect for folks who were smoking marijuana in adolescence, whereas they go through adulthood, even if they stop smoking, there is some decline in cognitive ability.
Has any research been done into medical marijuana as a potential treatment for mental health disorders?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's another area of concern, because we look at sort of what conditions qualify, because typically states will pass laws, and anxiety and depression are commonly, you know, cited as wanting to be treated, and many states do allow medical marijuana for anxiety and depression. The challenge is that the evidence, the medical evidence supporting that is quite weak, and in fact, some of the evidence kind of suggests the opposite relationship. That is, that individuals who are using marijuana might be at greater risk for developing anxiety and depressive disorders. We see this in PTSD as well, which is often, again, cited as something that could be beneficial. And, you know, I want to be careful here, because I've worked with clients and folks who have used marijuana to help with some of the really distressing symptoms of PTSD, the nightmares and the awakening, that can get some temporary relief. But one thing we're finding is that marijuana might actually interfere with our other evidence-based approaches to PTSD. There's been some studies suggesting that folks who go into residential treatment for PTSD with chronic marijuana use benefit less from the treatment. So I think we have to be careful before we suggest that sort of marijuana is a panacea for mental health concerns. You know, what we're suggesting might be more the opposite, that it's certainly its chronic use could be associated with an increased risk and not a cure.